That's messed up, girl. That's messed up. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Here we go. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Go all the way to the back of the New Testament. If you need to look at the table of contents, then go ahead and look at the table of contents. It's all right. I do it sometimes. I did it this morning. He was like, Jose, I was like, I know it's in there somewhere. I don't care. I got to look at the table of contents, okay? Go to the table of contents all the way in the back of the Bible. Find the T-books. You'll find it there. 2 Timothy chapter number uno. Chapter numero uno. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Here we go. Monty, you still don't like mayonnaise. It's all right, baby, all right? It's all good, brother. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Are you there yet? Somebody got to pour some water on her. Somebody got to get the fire extinguisher and just put her out, all right? 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Are you there on this side? Oh, how about we over here? 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I want everybody at 2 Timothy chapter number 1, all right? Here we go. I want you to read it so you don't think I'm making it up as I go. Here we go. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We're going to look at one verse tonight. Here it is. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Listen, I need your undivided attention. I know it's been a long day. You guys are fabulous, by the way. I'm serious, man. If somebody would have messed up singing back when I was a teenager, no lie, man, they'd have to usher me out. I'm just telling you, I'm being very honest with you. But you guys did a great job tonight, seriously. I appreciate your respect for adults. I appreciate your admiration for the spiritual leadership. Thank you for letting me participate with you, playing dodgeball and all that. And I know Mark tried to clown me. He says, Brother Sammy, you coming on our team? You're like four, huh? You're like four of us. Okay, here it is. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. It's all good, Brother Mark. I ain't mad at you, baby. I ain't mad at you. If I get hungry enough, I can just eat you, though, all right? So calm down, all right? 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I'll stick you in a taco, all right? Here we go. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Is everybody there? 2 Timothy chapter number 1? Can I get an amen if you're there? Can I get an amen if you're there? Verse number 7. Let's read it together. Verse number 7, like you mean it. Verse number 7, ready, begin. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. All right. So, you know, listen. Look at it. You know how when you're in school and everybody's trying to, like, read on their own pace and the teacher's like, okay, let's read it together, class, okay? Let's read it together, all right? Not la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Let's read it together, all right? It's all right. That's okay. Oh, man, dude, is that all right? You good? All right, here we go. 2 Timothy 1, 7. Ready? Is everybody ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a... All right, here it is. Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight, okay? As I pray out loud, you pray on the inside. Lord, speak to me because I'm ready to listen tonight, all right? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the privilege it is to preach your word tonight. I know, God, that I don't deserve to be here. These teenagers aren't privileged to hear me. I'm privileged to preach to them. Thank you, God, for the privilege that you give me and the opportunity to be here. God, I ask that you would please flow through me tonight, God. I believe that this is the message for this time. Thank you for the teenagers, God. Thank you for their love for you. Thank you, God, for their respectfulness. Lord, I'm just so amazed. I appreciate them. Thank you for letting me have just a small part in what you want to do in their lives. Father, I give myself to you. Please use me as a carpenter would use a hammer. Help me, Father, to be used of God tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Has anybody here ever been to a theme park? Just raise your hand if you've been to a theme park, okay? Lower your hands. A theme park. Have you ever been on a roller coaster? Has anybody ever been on a roller coaster? Good. All right, lower your hands. I am 35 now. I'm old. It's all right. It's all good. But you can look at me. Black don't crack, do we? All right. Black don't crack. All right. So here it is. Man, do we sit down, man? What's wrong with you? You woke up, didn't you? I ain't going to clown you because I got love for you, Mohammed. All right, here it is. So here it is. My sister just turned 9 years old. I'm 9 years older than my sister, So how old? No. This is back in the day, okay? This is back in the day, okay? Oh, dang, your parents don't play. Hey, your parents having babies. Y'all don't stop having babies. I heard about Mexican people. Mexican just had babies. That's all they do. Okay, here it is. So I'm 18 years old. My sister is 9, all right? Her name is Sandy, and my name is Sammy. Don't ask me why her name is Sandy. I named her. I just told moms, listen, I want somebody that's, you know, it's going to be my little sidekick. And at first I thought she was going to be a boy, so I was happy about it. After I found out she was a girl, I was like, haha, man, whatever, you know, it's all good. I'm going to name you Sandy. It's cool. So here it is. Sandy's like, I want to go to a theme park. And I'm like, all right, dude, let's go to a theme park. I'm working at the Long Beach Convention Center. I'm making like $7.25 an hour. That's it. $7.25 an hour. $9.25 if you were Caucasian. But in my day, no, I'm just kidding. Not, but anyway, I'm making, I'm like, dang, 1950s over there. All right, so we did. So we were all making $7.25 an hour. I'm popping popcorn, serving up hot dogs and Cokes at the Long Beach Convention Center. I saved my money. And I'm saying, Sandy, when you turn 9, I'm going to take you to Disney, to California Adventure, a Disney park, okay? It's a new park they built right next to Disneyland, all right? So the tickets are $100, all right? 99, they're right at $100. I save my money. I'm working hard. I get out of high school. I clock in at 4 o'clock. I clock out at 10. I'm working hard. I managed to save up about $350, all right? So I designated $200 of it to buy a ticket for Sandy and a ticket for myself and $150 to spend on whatever we wanted. I wanted to make sure she had a great birthday. So I said, Sandy, let's go to California Adventureland. And she's like, whoa, are you serious? You know, she's like, almost started crying because you know how little girls get, they get very excited. Like, oh, you shouldn't have did that. Oh, you shouldn't have did that, man. You're the greatest big brother in the whole world. Shut up, get in the car. So here it is. We get in the car. We get to the place, all right? And now we're at the place. We're at Disneyland. We're having a great time. I'm stopping at every churro cart. I'm buying churros. They're $4.25 a piece. I don't care. I bought like 10 of them that day. I spent $40 on churros, baby. That's how I roll. I don't care. I'll do it today if I had to. I'll spend my last $40 on churros right now if I had to. All right, so here it is. So we're going all throughout the park, right? We're going all throughout the park. We're getting on those teacup rides, okay? Here I am. I look goofy because I got my backwards hats. I'm not near as godly as I am now. I'm terrible, okay? I'm not even close. Got my little backwards hat. I'm repping hard for the hood, you know what I mean? I got Compton tatted on my neck. I took it off when I got saved right here. I used to have it. No, I'm just kidding. But here it's, but just kidding. You'd be amazed how many people just believe that when I say that. I have tattoos. I don't know, those bus kids. All those bus kids have tattoos. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, so we get on these rides, man. We're all over the place. Teacups. We're doing this. We're going to shows, the Bugs Life. I'm like, man, this is great. We're getting on these different things. And it comes time to get on one of those high rise, okay? So it's called the drop zone. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? The drop zone, right? So I said, Sandy, it's your turn to get on the drop zone. And at first she's like, okay, you know, whatever. And as soon as we start walking to it, we're just walking. Everybody's happy at Disneyland, all right? We're just whistling, right? We get to the end of the line. They got a little sign up there that says, wait 45 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. 45 minutes is cake at Disneyland. We're sitting there. I'm chewing on churros. She's just chilling, maybe got a little popsicle in her hand. We're getting in line, and we start to progress. It's about 5-10 minutes into waiting in line, and I hear sniffles. I'm like, man, what is that? Sniffles. I'm thinking, man, she got an allergy, you know? Like, I know, man. People get crazy with the allergies, you know? It's all right. Ask Brother Ali, he's got energy this week. All right, here it is. We get closer, and I notice that she's crying. And, like, we're, like, 10 minutes from getting on. 10 minutes. They got all these lines over here. Drop zone. It's, like, I don't know, 100 feet in the air, 150 feet in the air. I don't know how many feet. It's way up there. And I said, Sandy, what's wrong? And she started getting hysterical. You know how little girls get? She's like, I don't want to get on. And everybody's just looking at us. I got my backward hat on. People just looking at me like. I mean, I got moms looking at me. They're like, I said, Sandy, we gotta get on, it's gonna be okay. She's gonna have to be quiet. 5 minutes later, we're almost about to get on. We're 5 minutes about to get on the ride. I don't want to get on. I don't want to get on. And now she's pulling on my shirt. I don't want to get on. Please don't make me get on. Please don't make me get on. And people just looking at me like. A couple gay guys looking at me like, how dare you? How dare you? What? And I went to Sandy, and I was like, Sandy, I paid $200 for to get in this park. You about to get on this ride. Believe that. You about to get on this ride. I'm about putting my hand over her mouth. We get on this ride. She sit next to me. Click in. I said, Sandy, make sure you get that click in because we've seen them things on TV about them, you know, the worst, you know, rides in the world. How people be flying off rides and then their heads be going this way, their bodies go this way. Make sure you're buckled on, right? Make sure you buckled in. And so she gets the buckled in, all right? And I'm like, okay, you buckled in, we're buckled in. And then the guy says, okay, we'll see you when you get back or whatever. And I'm like, oh, man, this is great, you know? So we start to go up. We're like, Sandy, look, that's our house way over there. Look, shut up, I don't want to see. And there's that moment of suspense. And I'm like, start to count. I'm like, Sandy, you ready? We're dangling in the air. Feet dangling, wing dangling, feet. Shut up, I don't want to dangle my feet. I just dangle, just let go. Listen, it don't matter how hard you hold on, you have enough strength to hold on when it's dangling. I'm having this whole conversation up there. It feels like 30 minutes, but it's really like 30 seconds, okay? We're just like, I'm like, all right, ready? 5, 4, 3, click off the ride, gets off the ride. Sandy, how was it? She goes, let's do it again. Yeah! That's great, man. It was a random Tuesday. We rode that ride 4 times in a row. Got in, got out. Got in, got out. Sandy now takes her friends. When she started growing up, she said, don't be afraid. I'm a pro at this stuff. You know, the truth is, fear can do some crazy things to you. Right here, Timothy tells us in the Bible, God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And here's what God gives us. He gives us the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. I want you to write this down. I'm going to finish this message tomorrow, but I'm going to start it tonight. I want you to write down, number one, the reminder. The reminder. Paul is the man of God. Paul is in jail. Paul has instructed his preacher boy. His name is Timothy. And he left Timothy pastoring in a wicked city. He left him pastoring in a city that was full of prostitution. He left them pastoring in a city that is full of drugs. He left them pastoring in a city where they worship false idols. He left them pastoring in a city that's full of warlocks and witches. He left them pastoring in a city that's full of casinos everywhere. It was like a modern-day Las Vegas. He's pastoring in Ephesus. They're worshiping idols. They're worshiping the god of Diana. They don't care about God. He's pastoring in a wicked day, much like today where we live right now, where people don't even believe in God. They don't think about God. They're too caught up in their sin and in their addictions. They don't care about God. And right there is where Timothy is pastoring. He's pastoring in a wicked city. And Paul writes his preacher boy, it would be like your youth pastor or your pastor or your Sunday school teacher writing you. And he's saying this, listen, Timothy, I want you to look at me. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. That spirit of fear doesn't come from God. You say, where does it come from? Well, that spirit comes from within. It comes from our sinful nature. We are fearful. The Bible says, but the fearful and abominable shall have their part in the lake of fire. And so God says, I didn't give you that spirit of fear. Sometimes fear comes from our circumstances, the unknown, the insecurity. We don't have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Sometimes fear comes from Satan and demonic influences. Look at me. And the Bible says God did not give us that spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Now, I want you to see this. Number one, the reminder. He reminds him of a couple things. Number one, I want you to write down. Number one, he reminds him of his intercession. Write that word down if you're taking notes. Here it is. He reminds him of his intercession. Now, the preacher spoke about that just very slightly this morning, but it reminds him of his intercession. Look what the Bible says there in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 2 and 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verses 2 and 3. In verse number 2, the Bible says this to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Do y'all see that? Follow me in the Bible, okay? To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look what he says in verse 3. Look what the Bible says in verse 3. Here's what he says. He says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So Paul says, without ceasing. What does that mean? Without stopping, okay? So here's Paul. He writes Timothy a letter, and here's what he says. Timothy, I want you to understand that while I'm in this jail cell, Paul's in the jail in Rome, all right? He's in jail, and he's writing this letter to his preacher boy in Ephesus. He's writing a letter, and he says, I want you to know that I have been praying for you. I want to remind you of my intercession. I want to remind you that I pray for you night and day. So what does that mean? Look at me. What that means is that Paul got up in the morning and he knelt down and he prayed for Timothy. What that means is before Paul went to sleep at night, he knelt down and he prayed for Timothy. You see, the Bible says that Paul loves Timothy. He loves him as his only son. He says, my beloved son in the gospel. Now look at me. This is very important. You see, because we are fearful about a lot of things. Even I grew up with a lot of fears. I grew up with a lot of insecurities about not knowing about tomorrow. I grew up with, I wonder what's going to happen. Are people going to accept me? Do I have to act differently? Do I have to dress differently? Do I have to do things for people to accept me? I feared a lot of things, and I'm just being honest before you guys. But isn't it a joy to know that right here in the scripture, the Bible reminds us that our spiritual leaders, moms, are praying for y'all tonight. There's dads that are praying for y'all tonight. You say, man, my mom and dad aren't even saved. Well, there's a youth pastor that has been praying for you. And there's a pastor that has been praying for you. And the preacher this week got the list 2 weeks ago. And I called out your names before the Lord, even before I met you. And I've been praying for you. And can I just say that prayer is a powerful thing? I thank God that one night I walked out of my bedroom and I found my mother next to the sofa, bowing the knee. And I knew that she was praying for her daughter. And she was praying for her son. Now, I just want to say, there's been several times when I should have been gone. I should have fell off the edge. I should be in gangs. I should be on drugs. I should have children out of wedlock. I should be covered in tattoos. But by the grace of God, and because a mother knelt down and prayed for me and took me to the throne of grace, I believe that God has answered my mother's prayers. Now, I say to you tonight, somebody is praying for you. There's a pastor who perhaps can't sleep at night because he has your image in his heart. And he bows the knee and he begins to beg God for your life. There's a youth pastor who says, God, please let so-and-so and so-and-so turn out for God. Please don't let the devil get them. Please don't let their sinful flesh get them. Oh, God, would you please help them? I just want to say somebody is praying for you. You say, I don't know if anybody's praying for me. That's a lie. The Bible says that he ever liveth to intercede for us. You say, if somebody is not praying for you down here on this earth, you better believe, look at me, that Jesus Christ himself is praying for you. And listen, who else could have closer access to God than Jesus? Isn't that a beautiful thing? You say, why would Jesus pray for us? Well, the Bible gives the insight on why he would pray for us. The Bible says we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know what that means? We don't have somebody that's our Savior, somebody that offers sacrifice, somebody that's close to God who doesn't know what it's like to be weak. We don't have somebody praying for us who doesn't know what it's like to be betrayed. We don't have somebody praying for us who doesn't know what it's like to be thirsty. We don't have somebody praying for us who doesn't know what it feels like to be lonely. See, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was denied. Jesus, they pulled his beard. They spit on him. They killed him. They mocked him. He wasn't accepted into society. So whatever problem that you're facing today, whether it is a problem with sin or problem with friendship or problem with family, understand that Jesus knows exactly how you feel. I'd be a lie if I told you I know how you feel, and you'd be a lie if you told me you know how I feel. None of us understand our lives in full detail, but there is one among us who knows what it's like to be you. There's one young lady who knows what it's like to be you. There's one young man who knows what it's like to be you. You know what he says? He cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but the Bible says he was in all points tempted as ye are. He was tempted to do these things. He was tempted to sin. Now, here's the major difference. The Bible says, yet without sin. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace and pray to God so you can find help and grace to help in time of need. What is Jesus saying? I want to remind you, teenagers, tonight. I want to remind you that even in the smallness of life, Jesus, he's praying for you. Yes, he is. So he reminds him of his intercession. Number two, write this down. He reminds him of his inheritance. Write it down. He reminds him of his inheritance. Look what the Bible says in verse number 5. Look what the Bible says in verse number 5. You're doing a great job listening. I'm not going to finish this whole message now. I'll finish it in the morning. Number one, the reminder, letter A, intercession. He reminds him of his intercession. Letter B, he reminds him of his inheritance. Look what the Bible says in verse number 5. Look what the scripture says in verse number 5. Doing a great job tonight. Verse number 5. Here it is. When I call to remembrance. What does he say? The unfeigned faith that is in thee. Can you say that is in thee on three? One, two, three. That is in thee. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Now look at what Paul tells Timothy. And I'm persuaded that in thee also. Paul reminds Timothy, listen, I'm praying for you. And then he tells him this. Timothy, look at me. I believe that there's an unfeigned faith in you. I believe that there's a faith that doesn't waver in you. I believe that there's a faith that stands inside of you. Because it first dwelt in your grandmother Lois. And then it dwelt in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it dwelt in you also. His name is Del, D-E-L-L. His name is Del. His best season in the NBA was 94-95. A lot of you weren't even born yet. He averaged 16.8 points a game. He was not a starter. He was not an all-star. He wasn't a superstar, but man, could Dell shoot the basketball. He played for the Charlotte Hornets. Dell would get into the game, and his favorite shot was the corner three-pointer. They run plays for him. He'd run around this way. He'd catch the ball, and man, he would just flick the wrist, and the trajectory on the ball, the arc on the ball, would go straight into the basket. Swish. Everybody knew when Dell checked into the game, they need a three-pointer. They pass him the ball, and Dell will catch the ball, and he stroked that basketball. Dell has stroke. Dell was a family man. Dell has two boys. He'd bring in his two boys sometimes. They were little. But the moment they were strong enough to reach the basket, he'd bring them to the gym sometimes before the games. He'd pass them the ball. These little boys, man. They'd catch it, and they'd try to shoot just like the dad. Little boy's jersey was way too big for him. He wore the small size, but it was just too big for him. Passing the ball. That little boy grew up playing in the gym with his father. He got a little bit older. He got good at shooting. Hey, he got good at dribbling the basketball. Said he was too small. Can't play on a high school team, you're too small. All right, we'll play for a traveling team then. Play for that AAU team. He got really good. By the time he was 17 years old, he had North Carolina State looking to get him into the team. He had Duke looking at him. He had a small school in North Carolina named Davidson. And he says, you know what? I like the coach from Davidson. I'm going to go and play for Davidson. The year that he played, he averaged 30 points a game. My man's got stroke. He took them to the dance. You know what the dance is? Yeah, the tournament. 64 teams. He took them to the Sweet 16 before they lost. Say he's too small, but he can stroke. They say he's too weak, but he's trying to hit the weights. Say you're sure you won't be able to make it to the next level. The NBA draft comes up. He declares for the draft. He's selected by the Golden State Warriors. He spends 4 or 5 years in the shadows. He's lifting weights. He's trying to shoot. He's going through all these different practices. But I'll tell you one thing that Steph Curry never forgot. Steph Curry never forgot the shot that my daddy taught me. Steph Curry never forgot the plays that my daddy taught me. Steph Curry never forgot the arc on the ball that daddy taught him how to shoot. Steph Curry never forgot the meals that mom would prepare him before the games. Steph Curry never forgot the sacrifice of a dad that said, Steph, you can make it. It doesn't matter if you're too small. It doesn't matter if you're too weak. It doesn't matter if they say you're insignificant. All that matters is that you have the heart of a champion. And if you got the heart of a champion, Steph, then you can make it. Isn't it unbelievable that his dad never went to the NBA Finals? That his dad never showed up on the cover of Slam Magazine? That his dad never wore an NBA championship ring? But isn't it interesting that he had a little boy that he believed in? He had a little boy that he said, Steph, I'm going to teach you how to shoot. I'm going to teach you how to lift weights. I'm going to teach you how to exercise. I'm going to teach you how to go to the next level. And Steph, I'm persuaded that what I'm learning, I'm going to pass down to you. You can make something out of your life, Steph. You can make it all the way, baby. And Steph went to the NBA Finals. He got to there and he started stroking the basketball. He averaged, I don't know how many 3 points a game. He broke records. I mean, far beyond anybody would ever think. Steph, they just won the championship again, all because Dale Curry told his son, Steph, you can be something. You can do something. If God's given me this talent, then I guarantee that God has given it to you. You say, tonight, why are we here at this camp? What's the point of this? Is it to have fun? Is it to play games? I love all those things, but it's because there is a pastor, there's a youth pastor, there's a mom, there's a dad, there's a grandmother, there's a Sunday school teacher, there's a preacher at camp, there's a lady at church, there's a grandmother, there's an uncle, there's an auntie who said, you can make it, boy, girl, you can make it. Live for God and lead. Let the results fall where they may. Let God make something out of your life. I'm persuaded that all of us have been passed down something by the grace of God. You say, why are you preaching this week? You know why? Because I believe with all my heart that somewhere along the family, somebody had an unfeigned faith. I believe with all my heart. I don't know who it is. I believe somebody prayed me into what I'm doing right now. I believe with all my heart that this is not an accident. God doesn't make any accidents. Now, there are no illegitimate children with God. There is no, oops, I don't know what I'm going to do with, I don't know what I'm going to do with so-and-so's life. Listen very carefully. God has a perfect will for each and every one of you to fulfill. It is his perfect will. God has a woman for you to marry, boys. God has a man for you to marry, girls. God has designed a family for you. He knows the address where you're going to live. He knows the job that you're going to work. He knows the place that you're going to live. He knows everything about your life. And the greatest thing you could ever do is to fall into the will, the center of God's perfect will. And I'm just saying, listen, you got an inheritance. Yes, you do. Never thought, man, that boy gonna be something someday. He's small, isn't he, baby? He's small. But I guarantee, ain't no telling what'll happen with this boy. There ain't no telling, look at me, what will happen to you if you just believe by faith and trust God. Lastly, I want you to see this. He reminds him, number one, of his what? What's number one? Number two, he reminds him of his. And number three, and I'm done here tonight. I'll finish the message tomorrow. He reminds him of his interaction. Write it down. He reminds him of his interaction. Verse number 6, look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:6. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. Who's got it? Can read it out loud tonight. Who's got it? Who's got it right there? Who's got it? Go ahead. Go ahead, Tony. Read it out for us, please. Go ahead. You got it? You got it? 2 Timothy 1:6. Who's got it? You got it? Go ahead and read it out. You got it? Go ahead. Read it out loud. Go ahead. Wherefore? Good. Now look at verse number 9 and 10. Look at verse number 9 and 10. Verse number 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Look at verse number 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, or in other words, taken it away, and hath brought life and immortality to live forever to light through the gospel. You know what Paul tells Timothy? He says, listen, I want you to stir the gift of God up. Is there anybody who likes chocolate? Would you just raise your hand? You like chocolate? Mostly everybody likes chocolate. Lower your hands. Raise your hand if you like chocolate syrup. Syrup. There's a 24-ounce cup of ice-cold milk. 24-ounce. If you're 300 pounds like I am, then it's 64-ounce. There's a bottle of Hershey's chocolate syrup. I ain't talking about that knockoff no-name brand from Walmart. Great value chocolate syrup. Ain't no great value chocolate syrup, right? This is Hershey's, the real deal. 24-ounce cup of ice-cold milk. This bottle. You take the bottle, and you begin to squeeze. Or as my little son would say, a squeeze, a squeeze. You take the cup and you begin to drink. It don't taste like chocolate. Why? Doesn't it? On a count of three, tell me why it don't taste like chocolate. Three. Y'all don't listen too well. Appreciate it. Why doesn't it taste like chocolate? You gotta stir it. Can I tell you something? Look at me and I'm done here. I believe that most of you have trusted in Christ as your Savior. If you haven't yet trusted in Jesus as your Savior, then you didn't make that decision. You say, I'm barely 16, 14, 17, 18 years old. I got my whole life to live. Is that true? His name is Tyler. Tyler is 16 years old. He's almost 17, about to be a senior. In the month of August, Tyler's mom, myself, and Tyler, we had a junior camp. Junior camp, 8 to 12-year-olds, 56 of them. I did the preaching. Tyler led the singing. Tyler was going to be a singer the next year at First Baptist Church School. We ended the camp Thursday night. Friday morning, Tyler gets into the car, and he's going to visit Golden State Baptist College where your pastor and your youth pastor and the preacher went to school to study for the ministry. He's just going to go visit. It's college days. Not college days, it's the summertime. He's going to go visit. As he's riding at 11:30 at night on the 152 bound, there's a car that is parked over to the right side. The teenager that's driving, he's 16 years old. He just got his license 2 days before. His dad's in the back. Tyler's on the right side. He's on the left. They're both 16 years of age. Full of life, full of energy, just like you guys. They love God. They're trying to do right. Mike's driving the car. He does not see that there's another car parked in the side and getting ready to pull out. As the car pulls out, Michael turns the corner and the car hits them. His Jeep rolls one time. Just once. Car's back on all fours. As you can imagine, a 16-year-old, he's frantic, he's checking himself, he's fine. His dad's okay. He's hyperventilating. His dad's weak at the heart. I think he's having the cardiac arrest. He's trying to console his dad. He comes out of the car and he comes over to the passenger side. He sees that his friend's body is hanging loosely and lifelessly. The window's down and his body is hanging like this. He looks up and he says, "Tyler, are you okay?" And the words that he said was, "When I looked at Tyler, I seen that his eyes rolled back to the back of his head. He took one last gasp of air, and he stopped breathing." Tyler didn't have a seatbelt on. And when the accident happened, the car rolled. All the pressure of the car crushed the inside of Tyler. Broke several rib bones. One punctured his lung. And he died of internal bleeding. He's 16 years old. You say, who was Tyler? Was he a punk in a youth group? Who was Tyler? Was he rebellious? Who was Tyler? Did he listen to bad music all the time? Was he disrespectful? Nah. You know who Tyler was? Tyler was my pastor's son. Tyler went home to be with Jesus. At his funeral, we sang about heaven. More than 2,000 people attended the funeral of a 16-year-old boy that his life was cut short. We don't know. One of the things that gave us hope was that as his father got up, he loves God. He's a man of God. He says, "My wife and I are doing well today." I said, "Pastor, why are you doing well?" Because we have the Bible where Tyler put the date where he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. We have that Bible. Tyler had a great testimony. He loved Jesus. He wasn't perfect, but he loved Jesus. Can I ask you a question tonight? One, if you died tonight, where would you go? My whole life to live. You don't know that. And two, if you are indeed a Christian, look at me. If you are a Christian, then when was the last time you stirred up the gift of God that is in you? What happens when you stir it up? It takes on a different form. What happens when they stir it up, Siobhan? It's good. It's sweet. What happens when you stir it up? The color changes. What happens when you stir it up? There's a difference. If Jesus Christ lives in every one of you, then there better be a difference so that everybody can see. I'm a Christian, man. I talk differently than other people. I'm a Christian. I dress differently. I act differently. I don't listen to the same music they listen to. You know why? Because I'm different. Stirring up the gift of God that is in me. I wish with all my heart that some of you would give God a chance. Not me. You don't even know me. Who cares about me? I'm nobody. I'm just like you. I'm a sinner. I need grace. But because God is worthy. With every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, no one looking, no one talking, please.